I was fucking her so hard and I headbutted her in the head.
Sometimes after I work out, I go to a sauna.
What about, like, display your Garfield tattoo?
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. I'm super excited that we're all here together sharing this moment. You know, sometimes you got to stop and think that whatever happened in your life, whatever decisions you've made, whatever ideas you had in the past, whether you acted on them or not, whatever has occurred before led you to right where you are now. And right now is all that you have. So I am very thankful that you are choosing to spend this time with me. Thank you. If you would like to speak to me directly, you can leave me a voicemail. 949-464-TBLS is the number. Mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. Get a lot of great email on this show, so that is very much appreciated. The Facebook page, always hopping. The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. I noticed that I put out there, I don't know how, we have a page and a group. The page you can just follow. The group you have to ask to join. I'm not like real technical in the world of Facebook. I'm not Mark Zuckerberg over here. But I noticed that since I mentioned it, people have been friending me, Brian Beckner, my personal page. There's other Brian Beckners on Facebook, I'm sure. There's one, we don't have to go into it here, but there's one that lives in the same city as me that a friend of mine ran into umpiring his baseball game. So there's Brian Beckners around. But well, the point is that I mentioned last week that if you become my friend on Facebook, and if you're like a rando, not somebody I went to high school with, if I don't know you, I'm just going to friend you. And then once it suggests it, I add you to the Facebook group. If you're having a hard time finding it, I don't know. It's probably easier for you to find millennials. And of course, iTunes, like our iTunes page, or like the show on iTunes, give it a 5-star review. Don't be one of these 2-star review cunts. I haven't been back on the reviews, but I had a pretty big meltdown a couple weeks ago that many of you thought was very funny. You mocked my pain. You laughed. So I haven't been back on the reviews, but go on there, give us a nice review, and let some friends know about the show. That is like really the best thing you can do, is just send a link and go, hey, you should be listening to this. Check out this. I think you'll like this show. Like, word of mouth really is underrated, especially when we can do it on a big scale. So please share what we do here with people that you think might like it. Hey, do you like hearing shows about dicks? You like it when dudes talk about dicks a lot? Because there's a show about it. You should listen to it. And also Patreon, patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. If you would like to contribute to the show, as many of you do, financially, if you would like to make a donation to the show, join patreon.com. You can give us a little bit of scratch there. And then we do premium content for our Patreon subscribers. And I have a feeling we're going to do a big show coming up, and I feel like it's going to be long. So I'm going to take a chunk of that and make that premium content, because it's something that people have been asking for. And also, people are offering bribes. And I'll introduce co-host of the show right now, Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
Doing well.
People on Twitter, our friends on Twitter, are offering us bribes to review the movies that they want us to review.
Yeah. Much like shady businessmen in the Middle East, I'm susceptible to bribes.
Yeah, open to it. Like, I'm Cutter. And wait, yeah, you're exactly. Cutter. I'm FIFA, and you're Cutter.
Yeah.
Like, let's make a deal.
I'm on board.
Yeah, I just found out that there's a World Cup going on right now, and it's in Russia. Do you think any world sports body is awarding anything to Russia without getting their pockets lined and their dicks sucked? Of course not. So same
earlier
goes for
in the
show.
Weekend, like maybe Friday or Saturday, I saw the image of like the owner's box, and it was Putin, some Saudi guy, and some FIFA guy, and it just felt real dirty.
Oh, for sure. Dirty. Right. Is the
a lot
word.
Of smug rich guys.
The worst.
What's going on, buddy?
You know, sometimes I just talk about random shit, and sometimes I like to talk about more important things. And this is kind of along the more important things. We've got a lot going on right now, and I'm going to need a sexual number out of you for somebody.
Okay. I don't like to. You know, I've recommended, we give relationship on this advice on the show. We do life coaching, and one of my number one rules is that you not share your number with your partner, and you don't ask for theirs. But continue, go on.
Right, but we're not the partner of this gentleman. We're just.
Oh, okay.
I just need you to speculate on this guy's number. I'll give you some facts. He's an actor.
That's a lot of puss. Automatically, a lot of puss right there.
Career box office of major films. I mean, lots of people have been in random stuff, but just 20 films, $1.764 billion box office.
Wow.
He was the lead in three of those films. And beyond that, he was the lead supporting actor pretty much in all of them.
Okay, we're not. So Clint Howard, known Coxman, Clint Howard, crossed
never
off the
led.
Board.
Never led. Right. Canadian. Okay. To give you some color on this guy.
Canadian. Okay, let me just do a lot of roll call Canadians. Okay, go on.
Okay. Was on an influential comedy show.
Oh. John Candy. We're talking John Candy.
Bulk of the career in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis. How much?
Lifetime SCTV numbers. SCTV was big.
Yeah. It was big.
It was big.
Yeah.
It was 80s.
Yep.
Canada. They played a little looser, right?
Yeah. And Ghostbusters, cocaine.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Not the coolest movie, but he was leading it and making a ton. I read that he, at one point, I think in 89, had three movies. I think he had three movies in the top 20 in 89.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, he basically retired. He's right. Like, I'm just rich now, and I don't feel like I got a family. So, and I could be wrong.
What's his number?
By the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids era, I feel like Rick Moranis was betrothed. Something tells me.
You would think?
He's in a long-term marriage.
Keep in mind the decade. It's not the 70s, but the 80s. There was a ton of coke. I mean, just the fact that there were three movies about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids means there was a ton of cocaine involved.
I'm just thinking about Strange Brew.
He could have
eased, say that was a six-week shoot. He could have easily banged a dozen hangers-on during that period, just during that shooting right there.
Right? SCTV, let's say that was 80, something like that.
Yeah.
And we're talking 80, and I'm going to count. If you were with two women, that counts as two.
Yeah.
So you got to think there are proud Canadians that want to service the SCTV guys taking on SNL.
I would agree.
Maybe I'm off. I think he might have hit the north side of 30.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, yeah, which is good for
now. I texted some buddies about this weekend.
Yeah.
One is adamant the number is 16. No more, no less.
That's a regular guy number. Lots of dudes have banged 16 chicks. Like that's even
this
guys
guy
that get
was
married.
Really, he was very famous.
Yeah, I would say.
Think of the Ghostbusters scene. They talk about the scene where they show up at the building and everybody's cheering.
Yeah.
And And like I feel like it was what's his name? Ramis, or I think it was Ramis saying, yeah, the crowds were massive because we had two of the iconic SNL guys filming a movie in New York at that time that we didn't need to advertise for crowd scenes. They followed us everywhere and we just used it for one of the movies.
That's amazing.
Gotta think Moranis just caught some shrapnel during those, you know, those couple of weeks.
Oh, for sure. Even the guy that played Dickless, Jose.
Oh, that guy was great.
I bet he clocked much pussy too.
I bet the dude who played the mayor who died last year.
That short guy.
I got one.
100%.
Lenny.
I'm going to say that Rick Moranis he's done low numbers for an actor, but solid numbers for a regular dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the over on 43 and a half sex partners for Rick Moranis. The guy, he did some fucking back in the day. You know, all those SCTV people, they were all fucking each other.
Right.
So,
the mom from Home Alone.
Right. Catherine O'Hara.
There were a few that you saw in everything.
Yes.
We know Candy led the group.
Oh, yeah. He was a fuck machine.
Just watch 100%. Him at Splash. You knew that guy knew what was up.
John Candy, you forget how just unbelievably fucking funny that guy was.
Like, terrific.
It is such a tragedy that he died that it's – you go back and watch what he did and you're like, oh yeah, this guy was the fucking funniest guy in the world for a while.
But he could do poignant too.
Very much so. Absolutely. The guy
Plants Racing Automobiles gets a little dusty at the end.
It's a little sad. You find out he's fucking homeless. He's really got nowhere to be. He's got to come home with Steve Martin.
But he could be Uncle Buck. He can be the brother in Splash. He can just be fucking funny.
So 43 and a half is the number, and I'm taking the over on 43 and a half.
My guess was 36 with my buddies, but yeah. I would love people weighing in and giving rationale. Yeah, I think guys, this is an important question we should tackle.
Reach out, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Let us know how many sex partners do you think Rick Moranis has had in his life? He's got to be in his 60s.
Probably right around there.
How much fucking do you think he's done? That reminds me that Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Oh, I need to watch that.
I have the opposite opinion. I find them so both very funny. They're both great talk show guests. They're both just super hilarious.
Martin Short is
dudes.
The greatest talk show guest.
He's the best. He has the best stories. But the last thing I want to watch is their two-man show airing now on Netflix and touring the country. I believe it is coming to my town, and I got a hard pass on it.
I don't even know what the show is.
It's them doing comedy, and I think they like kind of roast each other as they go, and they tell stories, and Steve Martin gets out the banjo, and he's got that toupee on, and it's just the whole thing is just –
I love. I don't need it. Ball breaking. I don't know. I don't.
Well, okay. You might have to watch it and proffer a review, and I will, based on your review.
Okay.
Either watch it or not.
Now, I just want to give you a follow up. I just went to the Wikipedia page of Rick Moranis.
Long time marriage.
He married a costume designer in 86.
Divorced.
She died of cancer in 91.
5 years later?
They had two kids and she died 5 years later.
Jesus.
Awful.
Well, that tells me
dude only was married for 5 years and it was to a woman probably on the set. Well, that's after Ghostbusters.
Yeah, just after Ghostbusters. What? And he's never remarried?
Maybe on the set of Club Paradise in 86?
Yeah.
Little Shop of Horrors?
The Jamaican set of Club Paradise or the Bahamas, wherever they shot that.
I got it. He might go north of 50.
Well, because here's the thing. Here's what happens when a spouse dies. You mourn for a little bit, and then you just...
You want to kill the pain for a while.
Drown your sorrows in just all the pussy. And it's kind of like when on Seinfeld, when George puts the picture of a model in his wallet and is like, oh yeah, she died. And then he starts getting really hot chicks because they think, oh, well, he dated this model. Then like I should be dating him because he dates hot chicks. It's kind of like that. Like your wife dies. There's a lot of chicks that want to make you feel better. They feel real bad for you and they're just coming in and they're doing work. They want to be the one that gets you out of it. So I'm Rick Moranis. I just go on just a pussy bender.
Tear.
My wife dies. Yeah. And RIP, obviously. I mean, it was.
Of course. Yeah. Tragic. And he was considered, and the thing I read, the lead of three movies, but he had a big part in Spaceballs. He had a big part in My Blue Heaven. He's not the lead.
Yeah.
But he was around. He was on the red carpet. He was out there.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
He was Barney Rubble. Not great movies.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Not great movies, but the guy was working for a while.
Oh yeah. He was on
and
set.
Worked so much that by 06 he just tapped out.
I'm out. I heard he was coming back. I just heard recently.
I think I heard he was a crooner.
Oh no. Oh no. But the thing is that'll get you some pussy. I told you about the time I went and saw Frank Stallone at a local bar.
Yeah, he was singling someone out.
Yeah, he was eye fucking my girl the whole time. Also, two fisting, one hand a Cape Cod, one hand a Chardonnay.
Oh,
and
aggressive.
There were many, many attractive coogs in the house drooling for my man Frank. There's no way he went home alone that night, and that's Frank Stallone. He's not. I mean, he's.
He isn't starting shit.
Yeah, he's one. He's 0.001% of the star of Rick Moranis. Like Rick
Moranis. Stallone's most famous role was singing in front of a trash can in Rocky.
Yes. Doo-wop.
Yeah, the worst kind of singing.
Yeah, he's famous for being somebody's brother, older brother. Unbelievable. Anything else?
Now that's it.
Guys, I'm aware of the Indonesian woman that got eaten by a snake.
In case anybody
else wants to send it to me, been made aware. Don't want to discourage you from making me aware of things, but usually like snake news, it gets to me. So I know some woman went to check on her corn in the village. And she didn't come back for a while, so they went out looking for her, and they found a 23-foot-long python with a small Indonesian-sized woman bubble. What do you call that? Lump in it.
You told me one time it happens really slow, and I didn't agree.
What do you mean, the eating of the body?
Yeah, but you were saying you could be rescued if.
Oh, well, no. But the strangulation happens pretty quick.
Okay.
I'm talking about the consummation. Like, it's got to stretch.
It has that, like, human-sized lump inside of them for, like, a day.
Yeah, and then it's like, it's not going anywhere. It's got to just chill and let that thing digest a little. I mean, think of Thanksgiving.
But the killing part I'm talking about.
The killing, small Indonesian woman, 23-foot python, gets the jump on her. I mean, she's probably dead in 30 seconds, I'd say, a minute tops. She struggles real hard if she's pretty fit. But I'm talking about the digestion. Once it consumes her.
Right, you see that outline of a tricycle inside these snakes. Right,
exactly. And then it's just laying there for a while. It's got to, you know, you just think of Thanksgiving. You take down all that mashed potatoes, turkey, pie. They're like,
it doesn't go away during the afternoon game.
Right. It's like, oh, it's the tryptophan. You're tired from the tryptophan. No, you're tired because you've been drinking IPAs all day.
You just shoveled like 14 pounds.
Yeah, you've eaten all this food, and your body is using all your energy, all your stored energy, to do the digesting. And same with the snake. So, yeah, they went over and they probably beat it on the head a little bit, and they cut it open, and right there, there she was inside the snake. So, quite a way to go in the village. Yeah. R.I.P. Watiba. I don't know what island this happened on, but there's a great many down there. R.I.P., but I am aware. And please apprise me of steak? Well, steak and snake. I'm into steaks as well. So steak and snake news as it comes into your inbox. Let's do some email.
All right.
Gentlemen, I just wanted to write you guys to say thank you for your frank and honest discussion about depression and suicide on your most recent episode. I have been to several funerals of friends who have committed suicide. I donate to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention every year, and I have read more articles and research on the topic than I can count, and everything you guys said was right on the money. It is not selfish to be held hostage by your brain and tricked into thinking that death is your only avenue for relief. It's no different than a person with an eating disorder who weighs 85 pounds but still thinks they're fat. It's simply a disease and not a personal failing. The brain is more powerful than anyone can imagine, and it can take us to some very dark places. Also, Brian, thank you for your powerful and impassioned tribute to Tony Bourdain and what he meant to you. I listened nodding in agreement when you talked about what a comforting presence he was in your life. Finally, I know it's a cliche and maybe none of this is readable on the show since it's pretty heavy, but times like these seem like the perfect opportunity to tell the people who mean the most to you how you feel about them. I've listened to Brian on the radio since 2011, and I've been a listener to this show from the very beginning back in November 2013. I've never met you guys or Kate, but I feel like you're all a part of my life, and I think of you as friends in a strange sense. I look forward to your show each and every week, and from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate all of the joy and laughter you all so selflessly bring to me with each new episode. On that note, I'm out. That's from Chris, medium volume grunt comer.
That was a lovely email, right down to the end.
Very, very beautiful email. And I got to admit, I read that. A lot of times I'll just paste these in, or I'll just read them raw during the show. But this one came in and it was just kind of long. And I was like, what's going on here? And I read the thing and it got a little bit dusty when I read it. Very, very kind words from listener Chris. It is very much appreciated. And it's makes it worthwhile to do what we do here, because we want to connect with you guys. Next email. Gentlemen, as the sports show of record, I know you're ethically obligated to discuss the Kellen Winslow Jr. story. However, in deference to the sacrifices our military makes, I shouldn't be laughing, to preserve our freedoms, I'd like to request you do it respectfully. Hashtag support the troops. Hashtag old soldiers never die. They just rob and forcibly sodomize in trailer parks. That's from Ryan.
I'm a motherfucking soldier.
This Kellen Winslow Jr. is he's a monster.
It certainly appears so. But like a week earlier, I read he was arrested for house shopping, and you just felt like, oh, this is another horrible racial profiling. But then he was for sodomy like 3 days later.
So I had the opposite. When they're like, oh, he was burglarizing a trailer park, I'm like, oh, this is one of these guys that's strung out on opiates, and he's like going. I know I've heard who was the guy who was on the Chargers? Ryan Leaf. Tell stories where he would just
just trying to steal.
Go to houses and just try the door. Like if he knew no one was home, he lived in Montana. People don't lock their houses anyway. He would just go try the door and go inside and start looking through medicine cabinets for pills. And I was like, oh, that's what's going on here. Then you find out this guy's a fucking rapist. Like he was hunting for a victim. He was breaking into places looking for someone to forcibly sodomize because he's an actual fucking monster. Like the kind they make documentaries about.
I remember he was a stud like rookie year, maybe the year after, and there was footage. He was riding his like moped. It wasn't even
in the parking lot. Yeah,
and he's zipping around. You can see the security cam footage, and he's going crazy in a parking lot like a moron.
Yeah, then he hit a curb or something, yeah, right?
And he crushed himself, and his career was never the same.
Yeah,
but yeah, he was a complete moron.
Yeah, I remember there was a Real Sports where when he was being recruited, where Kellen Winslow Sr. was like, he'll only play for a black coach.
Yeah.
Like he's got it. That's it.
His dad was a real dick.
Yeah, his dad was a dick. Hall of Famer. Okay. Here's another one. Hey, Brian and Ed, quick question. When people ask you what you do for a living, do you respond by saying, well, first, I'm a dad? Thanks. That's from Rusty, Florida. I don't know why I found that so fucking funny. I love that. I don't do that.
I love that because it's such a douche move.
Totally.
And this might not be popular, but I also feel like when people call their wife their best friend, similar.
No.
She's my best friend.
No.
My lover.
No.
My best friend.
No.
Get out of here. Best friend.
Right. You're.
She's your wife.
Your wife. Is not your best friend. I happen to be married to somebody that often tries to bully me into admitting that she is my best friend very often, and I forcefully resist. That is very funny.
Doesn't mean you're not in love.
Of course not.
But it's not the best friend. It's a different role.
Yes, it is.
I don't have sex with my best friend.
No.
I just don't.
You don't. Your best friend is the one you talk about your sex life to. You're not. It's not the one you actually have intercourse with.
No.
Very funny. And also adults having best friends. I mean, it's all right. Like, I get that we probably all have a closest friend, but
– right.
Who's your best friend? Like,
if you I don't refer to anyone as my best friend.
No, of course.
But
of course.
If I had to,
yeah,
it's not going to be my wife.
No, definitely not. Ed, I didn't realize. Okay, well, I'd heard in the last couple of weeks. I heard of like a lot of World Cup, like the World Cup, and I was like, and I drove by this bar near my house and it had a big sign up, and it's like World Cup. Every game on 26 TVs. And I'm like, well, it's good that they want people to know that for when the World Cup happens in a couple years. And it turns out it's now. The World Cup is now. I feel like we just had one. Didn't we have one like 18 months ago? We're already into another World Cup.
It does feel like that. And I have a horrible confession to make. My son is fully plugged into the youth soccer travel, the whole thing. So he's into it. He knows these guys.
He does.
And so I've watched more World Cup now without question in the first, it's been going on for like 3 days, definitely more than the last 3 days than I have in my entire 42 years on earth.
It isn't
for sure.
It seems weird because you and I are so out of touch. But when they list the top 10 most recognizable sports stars in the United States, Messi and Ronaldo are in the top 10. They might even be in the top 5. Like we are the ones that are out of touch. Like this is that's very much normal. My daughter was telling me that some kid in her class wears a Messi jersey every single day to school.
Whoa.
It's crazy.
I do see a fair amount of Messi jerseys just dropping my kid off every day.
Yeah.
He's a thing. He's a big thing. And Ronaldo. Oh, my son has a Ronaldo jersey.
Yeah.
We were in Spain last summer, and one of these street vendors sold us one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so it's like a knockoff one, which is even better. Which is even better than the real thing.
Like €5.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's a big deal. I'm just bummed that the United States didn't make the field of 64 or however many teams make the World Cup.
So we can cheer against them?
So I could root vociferously against them, as I do in pretty much every international team competition except for, of course, hockey.
I'm right there with you.
Fuck the dream team. Fuck any dream team.
For the United States. I cheer fuck for Coach the K. United States in individual sports.
Same.
I mean, not against Usain Bolt, but overall, I'll cheer for the pole vaulter or something like that. But team sports, I don't dig it.
No. Same. Like,
the one match I watched the other day, I loved watching Iceland. I think they tied. They didn't even win.
Yeah.
But it was against Messi, I think. Messi.
Yeah. Yes, Messi that had sounds familiar.
Penalty kick, but yeah, it was fun seeing Iceland totally. Go all crazy.
Mexico beat Germany. Like, yeah, I'm into underdogs.
Yes, that is cool.
I'll root for either Trinidad or Tobago. It doesn't matter. Cameroon, whichever.
There was somebody playing today, some African country.
Egypt.
That was fun.
Oh.
No, not North Africa. Like, maybe Nigeria?
Senegal.
Senegal. I don't know. I like watching because they have the coolest uniforms. They usually have like really colorful uniforms.
You know who I typically root for in these international soccer competitions are the Dutch. I love the Dutch. And the Dutch, a European powerhouse, not in the field.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think the Dutch.
Portugal. Yeah, they're good, but yeah, the Dutch are out. And Italy's out, too. They're a powerhouse, usually,
Italy's
right?
Not there?
They're out.
Oh, Italy wins this shit. Like, Italy's usually got a shot to win.
I think what happens is, and I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, but, let's be wrong.
But you have Western Europe competing against itself right. for a few spots.
Right.
Then you have Japan and Korea. Thailand competing Australia. For the same number of Australia. Spots. Australia. Yeah. There's some. Or the United States. They have way less competition.
Yeah.
And they still didn't make it.
But we got to beat out like Costa Rica and Guatemala.
We were stuff. Eliminated by Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah. See? North America.
Pathetic.
Sad.
So this is, I'm kind of sad I know this guy because I don't really know why I know him, but ex-US national.
He's the most famous American soccer player that's ever lived. Of course you know who he is.
But their butt, like they've never been good.
That's true.
Why would I know the star of a crummy team?
Right.
That's like knowing Kelly Trepuka on the late 80s Charlotte Hornets.
Right.
That's true. I don't know why I know it, but I know it.
Right. Wasn't Kelly Trepuka on the Pistons before that? Like he was on a team that mattered for a while, I think.
Yeah, but he was the star of the expansion shitty.
Yeah.
I wish I didn't know this information, but I knew it. So, Landon Donovan.
Yep.
This past week appeared in some sponsored tweet in anticipation of the World Cup. And the tweet was, "The tournament is here, USA fans. Our team may not be in Russia, but our neighbors to the south are.
Yeah.
So join me and their proud sponsor, #sponsor, at Wells Fargo to cheer on our other team, Mexico.
Yeah.
Vamos, Mexico." Well, some of his former teammates didn't take kindly to the promoted tweet, presumably because Donovan found a way to get paid. Nobody else in the United States found a way to get to monetize their shitty skills.
Right.
Right.
He's the only name.
Exactly. All these other guys are crummy at soccer, a sport where I know being a father of like a kid who's now into soccer, they watch Premier League. They don't give a shit about U.S. soccer.
It's true.
So somebody named Carlos Bocanegra tweeted back, "Really?" Another guy named Kobe Jones tweeted, "Nah, man, Mexico is not my team. Mexico is a rival in CONCACAF. In a sport, there is something sacred about rivalries." And then some more bullshit. Someone named Kyle Martinez, "Can't tell you how disappointing it is to have made personal and financial sacrifices to try to hold our federation accountable, only to see former USMNT players profit off of the result of that poor governance by asking US fans to support our rivals in the tournament we failed to reach." And a whole lot more bullshit, like lots more tweets. And that would indicate his teammates are shitheads, but then Donovan had to unleash a response on behalf of the ultra-greasy Wells Fargo to Carlos Bocanegra.
That is kind of a problem.
Here's his tweet. Yeah. "You grew up in SoCal and owe much of your soccer skill to playing with Mexicans. Your father is of Mexican descent. Look around the country. Are you happy with how we are treating Mexicans? Open your mind. Stand for something and remember where you came from."
Now, it's Brian, a little bit of a leap there. Like, I don't think that the two are really, they really equate.
Yeah, Brian, why can't Bocanegra open his mind and be supportive of a company that lied, cheated, and stole from staggering amounts of Americans via fake accounts, excessive fees, and general overall greedy shittiness?
I'm really into Wells Fargo. As you know, my all-time favorite ad campaign is Domino's, "Our pizza is slightly less shitty now" campaign. That's, to me, I love that.
We're less trash.
And I love that.
Wells has the new one.
Yeah, I just love when any company goes with that tact. So now Facebook's doing it. Facebook has commercials, which is crazy because people spend more time looking at Facebook than they do at TV. But now Facebook has commercials and they're like, "Yeah, hey, we kind of fucked up like by selling your data." Oh, that's actually your fucking entire business model. Like, it's not, you didn't fuck up. That's what
and
you
do.
And
we're continuing to do that.
Yeah, we're going to keep doing it. But they're like, "We're going to make some changes around here so we can get back to doing what we do best, which is using your fucking data and selling it to advertisers." Okay, but that's pretty good. But my favorite is Wells Fargo because they literally went into people's pockets and stole money.
Didn't they create extra accounts?
Yes.
And then charge fees?
Yes.
So people responded saying, no, that's not my account.
Yeah, and then they would go like, "Oh no, we'll fix it." And then they wouldn't fix it. And then they would just open more fraudulent accounts. And this is, Ed, this is a bank. Like, banks, all they do is make money. Like, there's just all they're doing all day long is making money. And this is one of the biggest banks in the world that just fucked the shit out of their smallest customers. Like,
Donovan wants you to open your mind.
Right. People in savings accounts. So on the one hand, I don't have a problem with Landon Donovan, you know, monetizing his celebrity. The guy's, you know, he doesn't play. I don't think he plays anymore. Although I think
party's over for him.
Yeah.
Right?
I think I heard he might be coming out of retirement or something. I don't know.
But I mean, to what?
I don't know.
Nobody gives a shit about U.S. soccer.
Right. But these guys can make a payday if he came back to the MLS. He won some, whatever they're called in the MLS with the LA Galaxy, whatever the championship is, he won that.
But they keep getting, now they get European retreads. Right. They don't need American retreads. Nobody cares about them.
It's not Zinedine Zidane, but it's another Zlatan guy. Yes. Yeah.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yes. Yes.
I know this because my son turned that game on and he had a crazy goal, and I read he took out an ad in the LA Times saying the lion has arrived,
yes,
or something like that. He's really cocky, even though he's over the hill.
Right. They come here to retire. They get good money in retirement. No one on the rest of the team makes like 50 grand, and then there's one guy that makes $4 million. And yet somehow they're opening new franchises every year, and they have
Beckham's opening a Miami team, right?
Yeah, and there's a second team in LA. I thought there were two teams, and when I said this last time, somebody corrected me because there was the LA Galaxy, and there was Chivas USA, but I was alerted that
Chivas – Real Sports did a whole thing about Chivas.
Yeah, Chivas is no longer. But now there's the LA Football Club, and they have a bitchin' new stadium downtown. It's right by USC where the sports arena used to be. And I was like, that's kind of cool. Like, I might go to a game there to just check out the ballpark or whatever. So I texted a close friend of the show who works in radio, and they have the contract for that team. And I'm like, hey, I'm like, you should hook us up and we'll go over and check that out and have a few beers and go to a game. And he responded, you do know it's soccer, right?
I have a grim admission to make. Saturday night, I'm going to a New Jersey Red Bulls game.
Oh, right. The Red Bulls. See, dumb name. They're named after their sponsor.
Horrendous. But my son is on the junior Red Bulls.
Yes. Yeah.
And so now he's got his whole team. Everybody's wearing the jerseys and they get free tickets and they might be on the field. But you're like, I'm fucking soccer dad. And I actively tried to not watch soccer my whole life.
Oh, no, I get it. I'm with you. Do they serve beer at that thing?
Oh, they hit fucking better.
Yeah, there better be beer there. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm kind of like not mad at Landon Donovan, but maybe just do the ad and
do the ad, but
don't defend it.
Don't say open your mind when you're really just getting paid by Wells Fargo, the shittiest company there is.
Yeah, just don't. Like, you took the money. I get it. You know, you got a nut to make. It's fine.
Of course.
But you don't need to defend it. Just do the smiling emoji because you got the money. So
you win. Kobe Jones. But guess what? I got paid.
Right.
Nobody knows who you are.
Right. I know who Kobe Jones is. He went to UCLA and he's the guy that kind of has like dreads or did back in the day. So I'm basically a soccer. I should be on one
you
of these soccer things.
You might be the head of the U.S. national team.
Yeah, because I could talk about it and I don't have an accent that people can't understand. So they should just put me on one of these shows and I could do it. Speaking of other sports, what's going on with NBA player? There's not really an NBA player called Sam Decker, is there?
Well, I haven't heard of him in the NBA, but that year, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when Scotty went to the Final Four, he was a superstar.
Oh, did he play with Frank Kaminsky?
Yeah, but I think Sam Decker might. Yeah, Kaminsky was definitely the star, but I think Decker was the breakout star of that tournament run.
Well, I remember them having a lot of big white guys,
and he's one of them.
Yeah,
he was.
I think I kind of
he was maybe the three. He was athletic dunk guy, but he was a white guy.
Yeah,
so. The former Badger and current Los Angeles Clipper, Sam Decker, responded to his former teammate Bronson Koenig about tweeting something about how white people have no culture. Decker responded by saying, "Don't put it in my face that being a white guy is something to be ashamed of. I'm proud of who I am, and so should you. But you're Native American and also white. This article speaks to many untruths about our culture."
Oh, no.
Some Twitter followers jumped in. One named Herb Mitchell said, "Sam Decker, this is not the hill you're looking for."
No, buddy.
Another named Shreaky Shooter wrote, "Sam Decker with three uppercase K's in Decker." Yeah. As in KKK. Another guy named Matt Belinsky responded to Shreaky Shooter saying, "Fuck you." Shreaky responded, "White culture does exist. It just involves getting mad over jokes about white fragility." Belinsky got mad and called Shreaky out. "If you want to test my fragility, I got a plane ticket for you to SoCal. Let me know.
Oh, no.
Belinsky actually booked a plane ticket and posted it online from San Fran to LAX, but Shreaky never showed. Now, Brian, I got a few questions.
Yeah.
One, why would anyone accept a one-way plane ticket? Two, why would anyone fight to the death over Sam Decker?
I know.
And three, how do you think Kyle and Scanny is holding up after this scandal?
Need him to weigh in. Like, that's a favorite.
I mean, Kyle, favorite, our lonely hearts look to you.
Favorite son of Wisconsin. I mean, it is kind of bullshit that to say that white people have no culture, like the TV show Friends.
Frasier.
Yeah. Matchbox 20.
Mashed potatoes.
Rosé. I mean, there's shit out there. There's shit out there.
There's so white. so much just upset. I guess the right word is fragility. I know. It is fragility.
It's white people are under attack, Ed.
Why is everybody so upset?
Never been harder.
It's been a pretty good run to be a white guy.
It's never been harder.
It's never hurt me in my entire life. I've had an entire life, like Louis C.K. said, I'll re-up every year to be white, right. To be a white guy.
Right. It seems like the way to go if you can.
You get into a time machine to any era.
It's always better to be white, unless you're the Irish coming here. When the Irish were coming here, when was that? Like turn of the century? That was kind of tough.
Nina, no Irish need apply.
Yeah,
or it was everybody. Right. It was Italians. Yeah. No matter who was the new guy,
yeah, they always get fucked.
They were going to ruin our country, and then somehow they didn't. But now we figured out we've got a clear line where we have to cut it off.
Just don't die on the hill of whiteness. Like it's just we're all just trying to get along here. It's you're in charge of shit, so it's fine. Just continue being white and everything will be okay for you.
Right.
This was my fucking favorite thing that's ever happened. I was trying to watch. I did that thing that I did not invent this. But I'd seen it before, so I decided to give it a shot myself. And while the U.S. Open was being played, tournament was being played this weekend, I did the thing where I Googled, or I didn't Google. I put into a Twitter search two words: Joe Buck, because he was the play-by-play guy. And
for golf?
For golf, yeah. And
jeez, he does everything.
I know, and he does everything badly. And you cannot find a positive tweet about Joe Buck. There's not anyone that has anything good to say about Joe Buck when Joe Buck is working. And I know that the negatives are always going to outweigh the positives. It's just you're more likely to leave a bad Yelp review than a positive one. You just are. It's just how human beings work. But you figure I started with top and then I just started retweeting them. And like none of the top ones had anything positive. So then I was just like, I'll just do latest. And so I sorted it by latest and just every single one. There was not one that was in praise of Joe Buck, but something did happen on the broadcast.
It was way more interesting than Joe Buck.
Way better than anything Joe Buck could ever do.
Ever.
Right?
Yeah. Even in the middle of the Super Bowl, he's never said something so interesting. So during Fox Sports 1's broadcast, and by the way, I have a cut on the end of my tongue. You don't realize.
Oh, no, you fuck with it all the time.
It hits your teeth every word you say.
I know.
Ugh, awful. But anyway. During their broadcast of the U.S. Open second round at Shinnecock Hills, microphones
Long
overheard.
Island.
Yeah. They overheard a conversation between a couple of bros.
Yeah.
There's the quote. That's my ex. Yeah, she's hot. That's when I was fucking her so hard and I headbutted her in the head and I smacked that bitch. We got up and we went and kind of got in the something position and she sat up. Now, Brian, one question and one question only. What position is he referring to where she sat up, yet he headbutted her?
Because at first I was thinking like dorsal ventral, where he was entering her from behind, and maybe he was like got real close, and you know how you like can really get in like almost in a reverse hug.
Is it a reverse cowgirl?
No, but wait, if she sat up, that's a good question. Well, maybe they were having missionary, but like on the edge of the bed or something, where he was kind of standing and she or kneeling, and she sat up, and then they bonked heads that way.
One thing I
either
hate
way, it's great. There should be more stuff.
When you hear moments like this, I don't know what happened, but when they apologize, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that's great.
You think there's one person who has watched golf hasn't heard of sex? It's an old man thing to watch. Everybody's heard of sex.
And obviously they didn't put it on TV on purpose. My inside sources tell me that it was probably people on the crew talking to each other on the radio, like two cameramen.
That's what crews do.
Yeah, this is what they were doing. And the radio frequencies got crossed or something, and it made it onto the broadcast. Either way, it's amazing. It's
amazing,
so
and I would like an explanation. The headbutt after, or yeah. Then she sat up. That's just doesn't compute.
Yeah, I don't want an explanation for the technical difficulty that happened. No. I want somebody, a golf reporter or somebody in the know, to go talk to the guys that were having the conversation and get us one of those Taiwanese.
The cartoon thing. Yeah, animation.
Taiwanese animations. Of how of what exactly he was describing, because it's very hard to picture.
Of course,
I need a full explanation.
Love those Taiwanese things.
They're so good. They really are so good. I have a buddy that works in advertising, and his daughter was wrongly accused of shoplifting at a major chain, and they were like, she was in there. And one of the store employees came up to her and was like, I thought I told you never to come back in here, and was like berated her in the store. And she's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I'm not who you think I am. And they wouldn't like take no for an answer, and like authorities were involved, and it was like a really embarrassing thing, and she didn't do it. And so my buddy works in advertising, and he's like, I'm going to recreate it. He's like, I'm going to shame this company. I'm going to make a Taiwanese animation of the whole situation. And I don't think he ever did it, but it would be funny.
It's a cool threat.
Yeah. Speaking of things that people want to get back, the Target chain is in a little hot water. You know, this weekend was Father's Day. And my ideal Father's Day is just to be left alone by everybody.
That's what I got.
Oh, you son of a bitch. I was left alone with my children, so my children's stepmother could go to a concert.
Oh, that's fun.
So it was not exactly.
It's kind of like being left alone, except the opposite of that.
Right, except you have to make everybody's meals and put them to bed and do like.
I hope the concert was good.
Make their lunches for the next day and like all the stuff that you would normally do when it's not Father's Day, but also it's Father's Day. And, but also I got a couple cards and a bottle of whiskey, which was nice. It's always nice to get recognized for on a Hallmark holiday like that. But Target is having to apologize because they sold a card with a silhouette of a couple on the front.
Mm.
And it's, I would say, a racially ambiguous couple. Although if you were forced, if someone took the words off the front of this card,
yeah, I'm looking,
held it up to your face and said, I'm gonna slice your sack open if you're not honest with me. Tell me what the race of the man is in this silhouette. You would probably say that he was black.
Looks like Blair Underwood.
Yeah. He's got a fade. You know, it's just looks like it's probably a black guy. Retailer Target is apologizing for selling baby daddy cards for Father's Day. Customers took to social media to let the chain know that it isn't a term of endearment to call someone a baby daddy. Urban Dictionary defines it as a man who is the father of your child who you did not marry. One woman posted one of the cards on Facebook with the comment, "You cannot be serious, Target! 4 exclamation points. Really?
John McEnroe?
3 exclamation points. Question mark. 3 exclamation points. Question mark. Some customers wanted to know why the cards did not just keep father on the card, as he is still the parent of the child. However, not all Target shoppers were as angered by the retailer's controversial baby daddy cards, with some appearing to find them more amusing than offensive. After the outcry, Target said it was removing the cards from the shelves and issued an apology to offended shoppers, of course. In a statement, the retail giant said, "We appreciate the feedback and apologize. It's never our intent to offend any of our guests with the products we sell." Ed, should we all take up a implement of fire and torch our nearest Target location in outrage? Or should people just calm the fuck down?
That's a good point. I suppose this is very racially insensitive, yeah, but there was a 5-6 year stretch where I only bought my mom mahogany cards, which are targeted
like a black, yes, line.
Shut like up. A black line. So but, and my mom's not racist.
No,
she just isn't.
No, she goes to church every day.
No, I mean, that is a strong sign of a very healthy racist in many areas of the country.
Yeah, you're right.
But she just isn't. But she would be very uncomfortable because she would try to ask me in a non-racist way why I got her this card. And it would be like a Mother's Day card that was commending her for being a strong sister and stuff like that.
That's so good. That's so funny.
For like 5 years, I just kept buying them, and I could tell she would like kind of cock her head sideways when she'd read the card, and it just didn't totally go over well. But she didn't want to say why.
Say anything?
I just loved it. I did it for the uncomfortableness of it all. And when you read the story, it kind of made me wish I could. I think I might go back to that because she never said anything.
So good. Yeah, keep doing it.
But like, it would be like a strong sister like you needs to be commended. And my mom clearly didn't know how to respond.
Well, now I'm offended because we have no mahogany section where I live. I want mahogany cards.
It was at my CVS. They have a little mahogany section.
And I would be very, very stoked to get a baby daddy card or give a baby daddy card. I went shopping for Father's Day cards, and they're all shit. They're terrible.
Oh, they're terrible. They're all terrible.
Birthday cards are terrible. Like, get me a baby daddy card. I love it.
An unhealthy number of cards, ready-made cards from the Peanuts gang.
No, they're there.
Like, get the fuck out with your Snoopy Joe Cool cards. Get out of here.
Wait, this Charles Schulz Enterprises is just stacking chips still to this
they
day.
Certainly are.
Till it becomes public domain. I mean, they're just going to keep making money off the wholly unfunny Charlie Brown. Never been funny. Never been poignant. Always been horrible. He's deeply depressed. The worst.
Franklin never gets to speak.
No, poor Franklin. He's hardly ever there.
Yeah.
Ed, this one's been making the rounds. I've heard a few people talk about this, and it's so fucking diabolical. Like, you know how when a hacker is really good, they're like, hey, it's like a plot from a movie. They're like, hey, you can go to jail or you can come work for us at the NSA.
Right.
Well, this is kind of like one of these stories. Somebody should offer this chick a job because she is like, it's like Dirty Work where Norm and Artie get into the revenge business.
Right.
Like somebody should give this chick a chance to do a job like that because she's really good at it. She faked a rejection letter. Hold on, there's too many things in the way. She faked a rejection letter from her ex-boyfriend's dream school. Now she has to pay him $265,000. Eric Abramovitz's hard work paid off. The accomplished clarinet player had been accepted to his dream school, but he never got the news. That's because when his acceptance email arrived in 2014, Abramovitz's then-girlfriend, Jennifer Lee, deleted it and sent him a fake rejection email from the school. It was a $265,000 mistake.
Oh.
It was really, quote, it was really devastating to feel that incredible betrayal, Abramovitz told CNN. It made me think of our whole relationship, and it made me feel like everything might have been a lie.
Might.
A college sophomore studying music at McGill University at the time, Abramovitz had applied to a two-year full scholarship program to finish his bachelor's degree at Colburn Conservatory of Music in Los Angeles. Never heard of it. Itching to study with
a McGill's a good Canadian
that
school.
I know. Itching to study with a renowned clarinet teacher, Abramovitz spent many late nights in practice rooms to prepare for his audition, which he thought went well. The full scholarship, which includes tuition, room, and board, is worth about $50,000 a year, and Abramovitz said graduating from Colburn would have set him up for a high-paying symphony career. When he was rejected, Abramovitz said he was crushed. Let's see how'd she do it. This Wednesday, a Canadian court ruled that Abramovitz's ex-girlfriend owed him more than $265,000 or 350,000 Canadian loonies for damages, including loss of reputation, educational opportunity, blah, blah, blah. Roughly $37,000 US of that final amount was added on by the judges, by the judge for Lee's despicable interference in Abramovitz's career. To convince Abramovitz that Colburn had rejected him, his girlfriend posed as Abramovitz and replied to the school's acceptance email, writing that he would not accept the scholarship because he planned to be elsewhere. Then she deleted the acceptance email from Abramovitz's inbox. Then she went one step further, creating a fake email address for the teacher and sending Abramovitz a rejection email that offered him a spot at the University of Southern California with a $5,000 scholarship instead. Tuition at USC is more than $50,000, a price Abramovitz said his girlfriend would have known he could not afford. It's because she's diabolical. It still puzzles me why she even added that, Abramovitz said. She knew it wouldn't be realistic, so I had to turn that down even though it wasn't real. Defeated, Abramovitz completed his studies at McGill. He and Lee broke up a few months later for unrelated reasons. So fast forward 2 years to 2016, when Abramovitz auditioned for a graduate program at USC, where Gilad also teaches, Abramovitz still had no idea his rejection from Colburn was fake. Each man thought they had been rejected by the other. This is going to be a movie, 100%. Abramovitz described a confusing scene at his USC audition in which Gilad asked why he was there because he had rejected Colburn and in turn his instruction. With all due respect, I believe you rejected me, Abramovitz said. He told Gilad. Unbelievable. It wasn't until Abramovitz's classmates asked why he
had rejected the Colburn offer that he began to think something was fishy. He went back through his emails, the fucking receipts. This is how I know people watch my Instagram stories. And forwarded the rejection he had received in 2014 to Gilad, who said he had never written it. Ed, this is fascinating. What is the worst part of this? Getting duped by the woman you thought you loved, or having the entire world know you're really good at the clarinet?
There's only one person that should be good at the clarinet, and that's Squidward from SpongeBob. That's a terrible...
He's terrible at
terrible, it. That's true. He's awful at it. Yes. But it's a terrible instrument. Only the bagpipes are worse. Yes. Yes. I forget. I heard somewhere recently they said you can never tell if somebody's really good at playing a bad instrument or really bad at playing a good song. It's awful.
It's very difficult to tell with the bagpipes. You're like, does he mean to do that? I don't know. I can't tell.
Like when I hear the bagpipes, it conjures up feelings of getting drunk on St. Patrick's Day, but I don't really know what's going on with the bagpipes.
And it's not like a skill. Like anybody could just do that, right?
But the clarinet, yeah, Woody Allen plays it randomly in some club somewhere. But it's a terrible instrument. It sounds like somebody's whining.
Yeah.
It's the musical equivalent of a mother-in-law yelling at you.
And Woody Allen plays jazz clarinet, which is like one of the most horrific two-word phrases in the English language, right up there with plunger rape and genital herpes. Like you really, really don't want to hear
the phrase
jazz clarinet together.
It's terrible. That's some super sleuthing that got this together. And the problem with these kind of lawsuits, it makes you feel like justice has been done. But the reality is this guy didn't have the setup for life that he deserved to have. So the actual technical cost of the education he missed out on, the jury found in favor of him. But then also, he'll never get paid what he deserved to be paid.
Well, I think
he won't see that exact money.
I left out the part of the story. I think he's now training with that same.
He's
in a program. He'll be fine.
But it's not the same. Yeah.
I think he's still.
Who knows if you're doing well or poorly in the clarinet world?
And he can option his story to
the Squidward.
Yeah. Somebody's going to make this story into a movie. Ed, joining us now. It's time. We've like done. Oh, you hear any noise in the background there?
Coming up. Oh, hey,
you hear something there? You may have heard earlier.
Flogging.
You may have heard earlier a lot of loud noise coming out of somebody's computer. Just outside.
So boring.
Just outside of the studio. She lets you know her presence if she is in the building.
This content is played out.
You are aware.
I am quiet as a mouse.
Of course, I am talking about our very own pop culture correspondent.
I didn't come here to get bullied.
Fancy Sauce.
Hi, guys.
Who joins us now? How are you, Fancy?
I'm good. How's it going?
Hey, Kate.
Good.
You guys having a nice chat?
Somebody was messaging me. How come I don't play the... I can't remember what he called it. He didn't call it a bong. He called it... And I don't think he said water pipe. He said water something. How come I don't play that sound effect when
my
you come on?
My bong sound effect?
Yeah, so...
When I hear that,
I like it.
It's from the bong by Cypress Hill.
Oh, yeah.
That's intro.
Such a jam. It was... remember Hits from the Bong came out and you're like...
can they even do, their whole album was about weed. You're like, can you even do that? Like, is that even legal? They're just talking open. Like, this will never get played. This is,
and again, this was a good 4 or 5 years after, who's the Miso horny guys? Two Live Crew.
Yes. Yeah. But that was about pussy. Still. I mean, it was kind of, it was very rape
graphic. Triple explicit.
The fuck shop.
Yeah. Yes. That's true. That was, I remember that being well blasted in the parking lot of my high school very often.
Gucci Mama song.
Yeah. Big booty
They rapped really fast.
Yeah. Mm. There was that one racially ambiguous guy in Two Live Crew.
Not Brother Marquise, the other guy. He died.
Yeah, he died. R.I.P. to that guy. Okay, let's do some email quickly. Not to rush.
Fresh Kid Ice, right?
I'm sure. If you say so. I only know Uncle Luke. Dear Ed and Brian and Kate, remember when we were younger and saw someone with a tattoo and we knew without a doubt that they were a badass and in a biker gang? How are we supposed to know who the badasses are anymore when Tristan, the guy who makes my iced chai latte at Starbucks, has a full sleeve? Thanks. That's from Dean.
That's a very good question.
It's a new
Dean.
World. It's a new world.
You've got to hone those skills a little more.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to look for other indicators.
Yeah.
This is what you would call a paradigm shift.
Yeah, it's true.
You've got to employ a lot more critical thinking when it comes to putting people in boxes.
When I was a kid, I saw a guy on the beach during the summers. I'd see him on the beach, and it was an old dude with an anchor tattoo. And you knew he had strangled a man with his bare hands.
Yeah.
Right? You knew it.
Yeah.
There was no gray area. He had murdered someone with his bare hands.
Or he blew his bunkmate on a destroyer.
It is hard now because hipsters get like artisanal vintage badass tattoos.
Yeah.
Like everything has been co-opted by branches of hipsters.
Yeah.
Well, if you need to know what is sad, is I have a couple tattoos.
Yeah.
So there's no bottom.
Yeah.
There's some personal shit, but it's a long story. But
do you have the U M?
No. They're kids stuff. Not sleeves. Oh.
Yeah. What, like Garfield?
Yeah. No, yeah. His kids. Yeah.
I have Garfield and fucking...
That would be cool if you had Garfield.
I have John drinking a gallon of semen.
Semen, the best.
And like the thing is, there's probably some strain of hipster bro that is getting Garfield tattoos, ironically.
It might be cool now.
Right. We don't know.
Well, you know what's cool now is like shitty tattoos are... cool.
Too bad you got rid of that spider that you got in middle.
The best tattoo is when Steve-O got a giant tattoo of his own head on his back. On his back, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
his face on his back.
That's a baller move. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Steve-O says he's like, the only reason I would ever get a tattoo is if other people saw it and laughed their asses off. Like that's the extent of the reason for his tattoos, which I think is a good reason.
Most tattoos are so dumb they're funny.
Yeah.
Or they're just terrible.
Yeah.
Shout out to Steve-O.
I saw a guy at my gym yesterday come into the – sometimes after – I'm going to regret saying this. Sometimes after I work out, I go do a sauna. It's fucking – it's really good for you. It's extremely healthy. I try to go do 20 minutes in the sauna after I work out sometimes.
It is extremely good for you.
And this guy came in with this old tattoo on his arm, and it said, and it was like a little girl mermaid sitting on the word Lolita.
I'm very uncomfortable with that story.
And I don't think he knew.
So he definitely is fucked underage chicks.
Yeah. I don't think he really understood what that meant.
Or he really did.
He's like, I really want to fuck 12-year-old girls.
He didn't understand or he really did.
Anyway, and then
that's one or the other.
Identity.
Then he started making a bunch of noise, and so I just got up and left. I'm like, I don't know. He was just noisy. He was like, had like a bag, and he was like,
"Tells you about him."
Wait, he brought stuff. Into
Brought stuff, and he was like putting stuff
in
a
bag.
I know.
The fuck.
There's people come in there fully clothed all the time.
Now, yeah. There's signs that say,
yeah, they don't read the signs. People come in shoes. They're dirty ass shoes.
Guess what? I would not be having that.
Yeah. Okay. And I know I'm going to hear about that, you motherfuckers. All right? Don't piss me off with your responses.
Well, you're going to get a lot of trolling.
Here's another email also from Dean. Dean likes to get in at the last minute, and I think one of these came in like during or around last show time. I'll read it to you. Ed, Brian, and Kate. I was in the Southern California area last week and thought about looking you up on whitepages.com to come look for that turtle, but was short on time. Maybe next time. Could you please ask the sauce to explain these baseball terms?
The race against the hare never finished.
No, it could still be going on. This is just...
It's an ultra marathon.
This is just so unfair, Dean. Because these are not... You don't understand. Like, Kate doesn't know what a ball or a strike is. So I'll ask her one of Dean's terms. Kate, in the game of baseball...
Yep.
What does the term full count mean? What is a full count? The count is full. Often you'll hear.
Is that like...
Full count.
Full count.
Full.
Like everyone's out on the field?
Yes. Yes. All the players are out on the field. That's a full count.
I just took a swing at that.
A full count of players. Wow. Great job. Okay. Let's try another one. Southpaw. Southpaw.
That is somebody that hits with their left hand in boxing.
Yes.
Southpaw.
I know that because Jake Gyllenhaal was in a movie called Southpaw.
Yes, you got that one.
Starring Curtis Jackson.
I
never saw that movie. I might watch it.
Well, if you want to see an acting tour de force.
Taking that. Big fan.
Jake Gyllenhaal can act.
Yeah.
McAdams stuff. Is he not good at this?
It was like a dirty version of Rachel McAdams in that movie. Pretty good.
Who is she? Oh, no, it is actually Rachel McAdams?
Yeah, like she was playing a dirty version of herself. It was pretty delightful.
Speaking of Canadians, yeah.
So, fancy sauce, 2 for 2.
Jake Gyllenhaal is actually a really good actor.
I just said that.
Yeah.
He was yoked to that movie.
I know, yeah, but it's a little bit like shape. Mansplaining back.
And he's like he's like normal size. I think he's like 6 foot. Mm-hmm. Backwards K. What is a backwards K?
Is that
from
when
Dean
you
in Omaha?
Snort the line of ketamine from the left to the right?
Right. You go from top to bottom instead of bottom to top. Yes, that's exactly right. You nailed it. Back, you got all three. Good for all right, Kate. Baseball, our very own baseball expert, Kate. Excellent
job.
You
are welcome.
Here's another one. This one's not from Dean. Mm. Ballers, the last shows have been amazing. Each one better than the last. I know, much like that's the rest true. Of the thousands of listeners, I'm still a little shook from the ending of the episode with Lisa B.
Yeah.
I kind of need resolution.
You guys are gross.
We're not.
No.
No. Like, it wasn't our story to tell.
People that want to know more about that.
I kind of need resolution here. So please have her on the show again and soon. Well, we'll probably be having her on at some point because Kate's doing some big projects at work. So I imagine she's going to have to miss some shows. Happy Father's Day, he continues. In honor of the day, I'm in need of some dad advice and knew you guys would set me on the right path. I live in a rural county in Maryland for work, and my wife and I took our kids to the playground this weekend for the first time. How do I stop other dads from talking to me about their Carson, Easton,
or Tucker. I thought all dads knew the rule of not trying to be friendly with the other dads. Please help me here. Keep it baller. Ben906, hashtag multiple iTunes reviewer, hashtag team more Takashi69 news.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That is a tough one. Suggestions.
Okay, what's your suggestion? You go ahead.
Like pretend to vape.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the old rural lady. Maryland. I think that might invite more.
What about display your Garfield tattoo?
Also good. Also not a bad plan there. I know what Ed will say. Ed will say, have the headphones on, right?
That's right.
Does that stop people?
Yeah, it does. Go with the headphones.
The headphones is a good one.
Somebody said to me recently, oh, I just assume you're a dick because you always have your headphones on. And I kind of was proud of that.
Yeah. No, that is good. I do that when I go to the grocery store. I do the headphones when I'm at Costco. I always just have the headphones on, and you really don't have to interact with many people.
No one's trying to talk to you at the store.
No, but I do
sometimes
it.
Sometimes they might.
They might. Some guy tried to – cool rings. Some guy at the grocery store a couple weeks ago was like, hey, man, cool ring. That's a really cool ring you got. What is that, like a class ring? And I'm like, does it look like a fucking class ring?
Were you getting hit on again?
I don't know. I think I might have been getting hit on by a dude.
That a some a cum loud ring?
Yeah. I would say one time I was at the – when my kids are too big to be taken to the tot lot anymore. But when I was a kid, I used to take them to the park. When they were kids, I used to take them to the park. And one time I was there and there was a dad who was wearing a scarf, real long scarf. And it wasn't like so cold that he needed a scarf. He had a t-shirt on. He just had a t-shirt and like sweatpants and then a big
long scarf. Was the other dad there at the park too? Or?
No, I didn't see the other dad with him. And he had this big long scarf on. And then not only was he wearing a scarf, while his kids were playing, he would drop to the ground and just like rep out like 25 push-ups and then like flip over on his back and just like bust out some crunches while he was there.
So some do like a little parkour.
Right. So what I would say to you is do any of those things and nobody's going to talk to you. Just wear a scarf.
It was true.
Just have a scarf on and people are going to be like, oh, I'm going to keep my distance from that guy. Or just do any kind of like fitness, like start doing, just get in a plank. Just be in plank the whole time. See if you can hold a plank the entire time your kids are playing, and nobody's going to bug you while you're there. It's good advice.
That is great advice.
Okay, Kate, what is going on? Oh, wait. Oh, let me just check something here. I just saw an email come in to our mailbag account while we're here. Oh, my God. It's kind of long. We're going to save this for next week, but I'll just preview it. It's from our friend Dave in Salt Lake, who can be a little wordy, so these need editing. And the subject of the email is dry dick, which is something I'm afflicted with. I have a dry dick. So we will talk about that next week. Kate, what is going on in the world?
Do we have to?
Yeah, we do. What is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in Fancy Pop?
Well, I have some news because I know you guys both love this topic of your favorite SoundCloud rappers.
Oh, yes.
Lil Pump?
I mean, there's so many of them.
Lil Pump? What about Lil Peep?
Not going to lie, when I heard the death notice, I was scared it was our guy.
So
yeah, me too.
There's been a death of a SoundCloud rapper, and I had to Google how to say his name.
Extentation.
No.
Extension.
No. Can I just do it?
It's XXX. You have to say all three X's. XXX tensation.
Can I do it now?
Yeah, do it.
And by the way, this how to pronounce his name video on YouTube has been viewed 2,800,000 times.
God damn it. That means somebody made like 10 grand off that video.
XXX tentacion.
Oh,
he was Puerto Rican. Always pronouncing accentation.
Oh, look I at saw you. Him. Oh, always.
There's a video.
He just comes up in conversation.
There's a video
a lot.
Of him himself pronouncing it on a radio show.
Well, he's been in the news. I'm saying, you know, when you read something to yourself, certain things you never say out loud, like when you hear a word pronounced for the first time and you don't realize that's what it was.
Yes, like biopic.
Right.
You're like, wait, is that? It's not biopic? Biopic.
Not going to lie. When I was a kid, Buchanan, James Buchanan, president. I was always thinking it was Bush and Nan.
Oh, really? Wow, that's deep.
But I was, you know, I was 8. So I thought it was Buchanan, and then my teacher said it was Buchanan.
The horrible.
That's your really logic. Good.
The horrible Don Henley song, "Boys of Summer." Mm-hmm. I thought for many years I thought was Poison Summer because it was poisoning my eardrums. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, that's funny. Anyway, XXXTentacion.
Yeah, he's got a new album.
He's been shot.
Blowing up. What?
He's been shot. Oh. A gunman shot him to death. Oh my god. Florida. Gunman in a red mask.
Oh really? Oh, gang killing.
Yeah. So rappers Soulja Kid and Soulja JoJo.
Who?
What?
There's multiple soldiers?
Any connection derivatives
off of Soulja Boy?
I'm not sure why they would be connected to his death. I didn't dig that far into the story.
They must have had beef.
I'm assuming maybe there was a beef or... But anyway, they're denying it. They've made some videos saying that, like, they don't got nothing to do with it.
Something that I noticed is that he was shot leaving a motorcycle dealership. So now not only is riding a motorcycle dangerous, but shopping for a motorcycle also
dangerous.
You could end up dead.
That's another thing, just like a hot air balloon accident. You'll never hear that I was murdered after shopping for a motorcycle.
That's true.
I didn't know all these SoundCloud rappers were so hard.
Oh, I know. They are hard. Yeah.
So Chief Keef.
Hard to listen to.
Yeah. Okay, so we've talked about Tekashi 69 beef with Chief Keef, yeah, right? Chief, like, he's always trolling Chief Keef.
Do they make these beefs up, though?
Well, Chief Keef was shot at in New York, and...
Oh, that's where Tekashi's from.
Right. So he's... Apparently, Tekashi is a known associate of one of the two men seen leaving on surveillance cameras tracking Keef around New York City in the hours before somebody opened fire on him outside the W Hotel.
Yeah. Were 69 shots fired?
Yes.
Because he stays on brand at all times.
He really does.
There's a video on TMZ of Tekashi 69 talking to TMZ.
Yeah, he's impossible
great.
To understand.
You might want to post
he's
it on the
– He barely speaks English.
You might want to post it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, I'll do that. Send me a link.
It's pretty good.
Send me a link and I'll put it on our Facebook page.
So he's denying Tekashi 69 is the best. Keeps okay, though.
Pretty much my favorite guy of all time.
R.I.P. He's gone forever. We'll never have any more sick music from him.
You know who else is dead and is unsolved? Jam Master Jay. What's going on with that?
Yeah. Jason Mizell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He got murdered coming out of the studio. It was 15 years ago, and no one knows what the fuck happened. What the fuck happened? Somebody knows. Somebody needs to start snitching so we could get justice for Jam Master Jay. Yeah. One of the fucking original DJs in the game.
And how do we still not know who killed Tupac or Biggie? Like, definitively.
No, we do know.
I know we know.
I mean, the Tupac one is ridiculous. On the strip?
Yeah.
There are never, within eyesight, there's never less than 400 people in any spot on the strip.
Yeah, it's true. But that was just a...
How do you get away after you shoot somebody?
Just a random act of violence. It was the guys they beefed with at the in the casino earlier.
Right, at the MGM Grand.
Happened to see them drive by.
Tyson fight.
Yeah, happened to see them driving by later, and the guy, Orlando something, shot Tupac.
Bloom?
Could have been him. Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, could have been.
He carries a big weapon.
He sure does.
That's right.
Like, if he's...
Paddleboard.
Right. If there was...
It's a baton, though. I don't think...
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it shoots a different kind of bullet.
It does. It shoots... I would argue, I would less rather be hit with Orlando Bloom's ammunition than what got Tupac. That's all I'll say.
Noted.
Okay, Kate. What else is going on in the world of pop culture?
Well, this is not a headline that I am into, but I'm going to read it anyway. Jada Pinkett Smith is 46, but says her vagina is like a 16-year-old.
Oh, she's the worst.
She is the worst.
Yeah.
And has been the worst.
Tupac connection.
She continues to be the worst person.
She's the worst.
Apparently, she had some bladder issues.
They went to high school together.
So she went and got the
vaginal rejuvenation.
Yeah, the vag rejuve.
There's no way that could solve bladder issues. Your bladder's inside your body.
It'd be cool if she got a personality rejuvenation.
Apparently, like the heat from the laser stimulates cellular turnover.
Bullshit.
Which makes you feel younger again. And it gets tighter and nicer and functions like it did when we were back in our 20s.
Nicer.
Maybe it tightens up after hearing her husband's horrible rap skills.
Here's a quote from Jada. Big Willy style. Vagina, which she calls her yoni. I tell you my yoni is like a 16-year-old, I'm not kidding. It looks like a beautiful little peach.
Does she call
it? Loves herself.
Sick. Does she call it yoni? But I hear Laurel. She's like, hey, have I told you about my yoni?
I'm and sure I'd be like, what's up with your Laurel? Episode of Red Table Talk, which she's on.
She is the worst. She's got a very blokey vibe to her. She's very masculine. Gay, right? Well, I think like, she has said, yeah.
Strong Adam's apple on jawline.
Yeah. Not
if you come up with a word like that to describe an adult body part, you shouldn't be allowed to use it.
Well,
if you still pronounce it like a 6-year-old, you should not be allowed to have sex.
I think that's the.
I agree.
I think that's the tantric word.
Like, yoni.
Yoni. That's like the Indian pronunciation or something. Yoni.
Yeah, my yoni.
Y-O-N-I. Like yoni with his long flowing locks.
Right. Exactly. Singer. And women. There's nothing wrong with your pussy. Your pussy does not need to be rejuvenated. Your pussy is fine. It's not stretched out or it doesn't need cell rejuvenation. Like your pussy is perfectly fucking fine.
Yeah, that's preach.
Don't believe this bullshit that you need your pussy worked on. Jesus Christ.
For the five women that are listening.
We've got lots of women listening.
You do need it.
Wish I'd tweet at me.
You do need it worked on, but not in the way that they tell you. You know what I'm saying? Like if you think it needs to be rejuvenated.
Okay. Easy tiger.
It just needs a little thrust.
By somebody with some strong vocal cords as well.
Right. Yeah. Get in there. Like Yanni.
Loudly.
Oh yeah, loud. I bet Yanni's a loud. He's Greek. I bet Yanni's loud comer.
For sure, he is.
Yes, he yodels.
He's got to exercise those pipes.
He was an international sensation.
He's married to Linda Evans.
He is.
He was. Is he? Huh. He was
putting a dynasty on loud coming.
Okay, I've got two more stories. Let's get this show on the road.
I'm always getting in trouble for rushing you off. Yes, Kate. What's your other story?
Troubled actress. She's been in and out of rehab for her alcoholism. Heather Locklear.
Oh.
One of the 90s finest.
Yes.
Has landed in a psych ward over the weekend. She seems to be suffering. I think she's got some bipolar issues going on after threatening to shoot herself because she thought she was in a manic episode and got herself convinced her fiance was cheating on her. And her parents were trying to calm her down, and she ended up choking her mom and hitting her dad. And her daughter
and her parents can't be sturdy at this point.
Now, 911 was called. She was restrained and taken away on a gurney. And she's entered rehab. She'll be entering rehab again, she needs probably some help. For like the sixth time.
Let's not forget. And Heather, if you're listening, take this to heart. There was a period where you were probably in the top 3 to 5 pieces of ass in all the world. I mean, you were something else. TJ Hooker with that 80s hair.
Sure.
Oh my God. Tommy Lee. Maybe that's part of the problem. Maybe Tommy Lee cause some sort of brain damage.
Well, I mean, he's got his shit together now, so I don't see why she doesn't.
He's with that. Maybe he's able to reach places inside of a woman that could cause a chemical imbalance. That's all I'm saying. Do we know if he
steered her boat to crazy town?
If Heather Locklear is still coupled with the great soap opera actor Jack Wagner. Kate McManus is looking at her phone, reading email.
Singer of All I Need, remember?
Well, that's what I was thinking. I had just got that song.
I need.
It's just a little more time.
Oh, douche chill Hall of Fame, first ballot.
What I feel, is it all in my mind? Cause it seems so hard to believe.
Cause you're all I need.
This guy, Jack Wagner, before he was with Heather Locklear, he was on a little soap opera called General Hospital, and he was married on the show.
To Felicia.
To Felicia. And this Felicia was such a piece of ass. Maybe on par with Heather Locklear.
She was 10, though.
She was very little, but man, was she hot.
Yeah, she was hot.
Anyway, and then he had that hit single that he used to sing on.
Wait.
A friend of the show once played golf with Jack Wagner, and he has a fantastic story about it. And if you ever meet him in person, you should ask him about it. Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? What else is happening? Final story.
This is my favorite story.
Not to rush you.
It's been my favorite story.
Yes.
But the ongoing tension between Tommy Lee and his son, Brandon,
such bullshit,
which has been playing out on social media, on Instagram for a while, since March, when Tommy Lee and Brandon got in a huge fight.
Yeah.
And Tommy was knocked out by his
son,
Brandon.
According to Tommy, he was cold cocked.
Right. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
But Tommy chose to make that incident public by posting a picture of himself with a fat lip. And there were rumors that Brandon did knock Tommy out cold. And we didn't know for sure if that was true until on the weekend, on Monday, instead of a Father's Day post, Brandon posted a video of the fight showing Tommy like laid out on the floor. So that's
quick. Start filming. I'm gonna beat the shit out of my dad.
He's removed it from the gram.
It's pretty fucked up.
But apparently he did so after Tommy posted a picture of himself with his dad, with a post talking about what he had been, you know, what his dad had taught him.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, "Sometimes I feel like I've failed as a father because my kids don't know the value of things.
No, they don't.
If they break something, they don't care because they know they'll just get a new one. If they hurt someone, they don't care because so many people tell them it's okay. I never wanted this for my kids. I know I'm not fully to blame because their mom has a lot to do with it, enabling bad behavior and buying them things when they weren't good. But I guess I hoped at the end of the day that they would end up kind." And then he says some more stuff and ends up with, "I love my boys, but they can be assholes too. And that's the truth." Yeah. So there's probably a lot of truth to that post, but I'm not saying that Tommy has been a exemplary dad.
He fancies a drink.
For sure.
And a piece of young pussy now and then.
Brandon hit back by saying, "Remember what happened last time you said this shit? Yeah. You got to show up to be a dad, big guy. If you think we're so bad, which I assure you we're not, then you should have showed up to a few more birthdays and baseball games. But someone like you could raise a man like me. I'm twice the man you'll ever be." Anyway, and then
he was in The Crow.
Then he threatened to knock him out again.
He got shot to death in The Crow.
So then today, Brandon posted on Instagram a message that said, "I thank my dad for paying for my treatment. It's the best thing he has ever done for me.
Oh, he's in
today,
rehab.
I am almost 2 years sober. Every day that goes by, I feel ever more grateful. My clear mind has allowed me to do a lot with this time, so much so that I would like to offer to pay for his treatment."
Oh, wow. Well, so, he doesn't have any money.
Wait, so
shots fired.
He was sober when he knocked his dad out?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
But I don't think Tommy was. So he is insinuating that his dad is a drunk.
That's a lot of rage to have at your old man to really knock him out.
To be sober?
Yeah.
Knock him out?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
so I'll be keeping an eye on this beef because it's pretty juicy.
I would say, though, that maybe Brandon should look inside himself and be thankful for all the gifts that his dad has given him, both financially and probably physically.
Well, let's hope.
Now, here's a serious question.
Yeah.
Do you think he's ever seen the video?
No. That's his mom, dude.
I know, there's but no it's way. Out there.
No, no. I don't think that he would seek out.
I'm not
that.
Saying he watched the whole thing to the end.
Yeah.
But it's out there a lot.
It's pretty cringy. Oh, I love you. You're so fucking hot, baby. So
there was awesome. there was an 18-month stretch where I couldn't avoid it. Wherever I went, it was around.
I remember it being on at like bars. Like you go into a bar.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, going to a bar and seeing the boat scene.
Yeah, totally. It was groundbreaking. I could see
why he would knock his dad out after that because clearly he's hurting the mom.
That's a lot of punishment to put the mom through with that constant exposure.
Stop it.
The slapping, the ripping, the tearing.
Wrap up this like dong section.
Okay. That is it, guys. Excellent job all the way around. Kate McManus, thank you for all you do.
Oh, thank you.
You're our favorite Southpaw. Mm-hmm. And Ed Daly, once again.
Delightful.
Fantastic work by you.
Yeah, thanks, Ed.
For Kate McManus, for Ed Daly, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 225 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
R.I.P.
Goodbye.